of female students and take gender-based violence seriously, not just chalk it up to bullying or not just passing around rape whistles or not just trying to put in an easy, you know, monetary fix for their campus lighting techniques. They need to really shift the culture and talk about these issues. The norm should not be the current situation, which is that 1 in 4 undergraduate female students will experience sexual assault while in college. And campuses need to take that seriously.
Thank you, Nina, for that piece. We're going to have a quick PSA break, but stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
The state of hip-hop right now, man, as far as the way I see it, I think right now, hip-hop is advancing as far as skills. You got brothers, you know what I'm saying, getting, like, more witty.
There ain't nobody to be pretty for. Let it rattle, let the clatter kill him, let the cataclysm wash. Who really listens? Precision with a verse draws a crowd. I draw a line between an easy melody and peace of mind.
Uh-huh. You got DJs doing all kind of crazy shit on the turntables. I like where it's going, and I like, you know what I'm saying, the creative process that brothers is trying to take it to right now.
Rally Rails and Brendan Butter in the place to be. Crimes and Treasons Radio, 101.9 FM, Vancouver, CITR.ca, every Tuesday, 9 till 11.
Dynamite!
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's nonprofit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
That's our program for today, May 30th. Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by our volunteer efforts. If you'd like to share your comments, get involved, or give us an important news tip, contact us through email news@citr.ca. You can subscribe to our podcasts, listen to our latest interviews and segments on our website, citr.ca/news. For more independent news, join us next Friday at 5 p.m. for another edition of News 101. I'm Lucy.
And I'm Rohit Joseph. Today's show was produced by Alex Sarah Davis from the entire news team at CITR. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for Skull Tull up next.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
You've been troubled,
You've been broke, you've been hungry. No job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue. Right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Here's how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man. Good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
And you are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. It is Friday, 1 o'clock here in Vancouver. It is time for Skald's Hall. I am your host, Brian McDonald, and you were just listening to the news. And the news included some news about a teacher strike that is going on, ongoing right now, I'm afraid, in terms of being an issue that is currently facing teachers. It is also an issue that has been facing teachers for quite some time in other ways. The strike goes back, the current version of it goes back to 2011, and it's still ongoing, and there's been Supreme Court of BC decisions on both sides, and it's quite an involved topic, and I encourage you, if you want to know more about it, if you feel inclined to have an opinion about the strike that's going on right now, please do become informed about it. This is not an issue where we can afford to be ignorant. And that's all I will say. I will go on now, and we're going to, in a moment, be taking a listen to more episodes of the Witch Hunter Chronicles, which have been donated to us very, very, very fortunately by the producers. And so we're going to, in a moment, take a listen to those now here on CITR 101.9 FM, starting with episode 3.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Tell me your name, and tell me who you were in your life.
My name was Ludlov, and I was a witch hunter. Out of that dungeon and into safety. Somewhere where they won't look. She must remain safe. She must. Be quick, Ludlov. Be quick. But think. This is dangerous. It could be my own end. Damn me!
I cower over saving one when I should be finding a way to save all those innocent souls from the madness that has befallen our order. I must act. But Samina first. Samina first. Samina!
You! What are you doing here right
Hold
now?
Hold absolutely still and don't make a sound.
Ludlow?
Shh! You're free.
Free? What do you mean?
I mean, leave this dungeon right now.
What's going on?
I have just spoken to the Grand General. A terrible decision has been made, and unless you and I get as far away from this place as possible, tomorrow you will be dead. As for me, I don't know what you expect.
What? Please, Ludlow, tell me!
There really isn't much time, Samina. That guard outside could wake up at any moment.
Please, Ludlow, what's going on?
The Grand General has approved the Magicide Act. In short, it means that all possible magic users will be killed outright.
You mean no trials?
No trials, no exceptions, nothing. Obliteration.
We must warn the others.
I wish we could, but right now the only option is fleeing.
Ludlow?
The mayor! How did he get here?
Ludlow, you could have at least spared Griswold's jaw. I sent him home, poor fellow.
Why are you here, Master Grundheim?
Right after you left my party, the Grand General and I had a little conversation. She told me you were opposed to her plans. I'm not a fool, Ludlow.
This is not what it seems, Mayor.
Your knockdown guard, a forced door, a broken chain, a pretty girl about to be executed, and a lonely man standing together alone in the dark. Please, Ludlow, can you not see? She's bewitching you. Oh, those pathetic efforts of fainted disdain towards her. You're so hopeless at these things. You never were good at hiding your true feelings.
I do not bewitch, sir. I could not.
Please, sir. Please allow me to save her life.
Begging now? You're above such things, Ludlow. Fearsome witch hunter, come on, don't play games. You know Grand General Hoskiv is right. If you let her live, you allow her to keep drawing from the stones. And you know what that means.
There is no proof to warrant such slaughter.
It is the official doctrine of the Church of the Goddess, and there is no proof of the opposite, Ludlow. Are you with us?
No, I am not.
Then you can no longer be a witch hunter. You will be stripped of your rank, and I will have to hold you in this cell.
No.
For the maiden's sake, Ludlow, there is no other way. I respect your decision, but you must face its consequences too.
I cannot do what you ask of me. I must free her.
Then let me make it easy for you, Ludlow. If I take this girl's life, there's nothing left for you to free anymore. Maybe then you'll come to your senses,
Please!
You will not harm her.
I'm sorry, but someone will have to.
Please, sir, you must listen.
I will not listen to the words of a witch.
If you spare her life, I will...
No, Ludlow, begging, bribing. Honestly, you deeply disappoint me. You should be a witch hunter. And this is what a real witch hunter would do.
No! You bastard!
I will forgive you for hitting me, Ludlow. But you will thank me later on for what I did.
You forget one thing. I hold the pistol now, Grundheim.
I know you won't shoot. Why did you want to save her, Ludlow? Because you liked her? Or perhaps because she knew things you could use? Either way, it's all wasted now. Go back to being a witch hunter. Do what you were born to do, what you were good at, and what we all respect you for. Go back to the Grand General and tell her that...
No! No one will tell me what to do anymore. Oh, my goddess. I killed the mayor of Seven Peaks. I'm a criminal. Samina... Samina, are you still alive? A pulse. She lives. But Maiden may know for how long. I must get a horse.
and take her to a healer, any healer. No, 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 no. They'll turn us in. A witch and the murderer of the mayor? No, I must go where the laws of Seven Peaks do not rule. Outside. The outskirts, yes. Yes, it's the only way. Hang on, Samina. I will save you. I will get you out of this. The longest ride of my life. The horse I had stolen was old and weak, and I had wearied it out ere I reached the gates. All the while, Samina was as pale as moonlight. Her life was hanging by a thread, I could tell. And if the news of my deeds had preceded me, I knew that all hope would have been lost. But when I reached the city gates, the guards recognized me as Ludlov, the witch hunter, the authority, the man they respected, and so they let me pass.
But you killed him.
Yes. Bystanders. Men with wives and children. Men who had done me no wrong. I killed them. Because I could leave no witnesses.
To save the life of one girl, you murdered three men.
I don't know. I could say that in that moment I truly believed that it was to save the lives of thousands of magicians that I murdered them, but it would be a lie. The truth is, I don't know what went through me as I drew my pistol against those men. I don't know. Was it mere self-preservation? Was it concern for the other magic users in the city? Perhaps it was just the way Samina seemed to remind me of Maria, or the way those guards reminded me of the Order, of the mayor, of the whole damn madness. I hate what I did. At nights I have hated my very self for what I did that night. But knowing what I know now and knowing what I knew then, I would do it again.
And so you reached the outskirts?
Yes. After the guards had opened the smallest gates in the city wall, which were still a majestic sight, and after I had murdered them, I rode out of the great city of Seven Peaks and so entered the outskirts. It started to rain. Simple shacks of wood and animal skin, built against the massive city walls, crouching up against them like ivy on a steep rock. The outskirts, where even at this late hour of the longest day of my life, lanterns and torches illuminated everything. Beggars, dressed in simple rags, curiously following my horse like dogs, expecting a treat without fear. A place where being a witch hunter meant nothing. The only place where Samina and I could possibly be safe.
And did you find a healer?
By the time I did, I almost thought Samina had already died. She was so pale and so still, I truly feared I had lost her. But the bent old man in his simple dark wooden hut just smiled warmly. She would not die that night, he said. And he was right.
She needs rest, my friend. A shot wound is no small thing. She shows much resilience.
No one in the city must know of our whereabouts.
What exactly is it that you are fleeing from, my friend? Have you committed some kind of crime?
I killed the mayor of Seven Peaks.
You... Oh, I see. Yes, I can see that being a bit of a pickle to be landed in.
I did not want to kill him, sir. Believe me, it was a last resort.
Let me guess. You wanted to save her life.
Yes.
Do you love her?
Please,
sir. I know. It's not my place to ask you such things.
She and I have an urgent and important task to accomplish together. Samina?
The others! The magicians! We must...
Shh! Be still, my child.
Who are you?
My friends here call me Doctor.
You're a doctor?
Well, my friends call me that. Let's just leave it at that.
I don't think there are any official doctors out here in the outskirts, Samina.
Ludlow, the outskirts? Is that where we are?
Yes. And if it hadn't been for Master Doctor here, you would have been dead by now.
Thank you so much, sir.
I just did what any doctor would do.
I thought you were not actually a doctor.
Well, what anyone named doctor would do, then. Well,
you may not be a doctor, but you are clearly a healer. Samina seems to have recovered remarkably well.
Well, titles are but titles, aren't they? Witch hunter.
Well observed.
Ludlow, we must be quick. We must warn the other magicians.
I'm sorry, Samina, but we cannot return to the city just yet. You're too weak. But I'll make sure as many as possible will be warned.
How?
You see this ring?
It has an enchanted stone.
Indeed. It was a gift I received a long time ago. This ring summons a hawk, my old friend Fulcrin. Fulcrin can send many messages at once, as long as he knows where they need to be delivered. What I need of you is a list of your magic-using friends and where they may be found. And then I will send forth Fulcrin to warn them against the Magicide Act.
Oh, Ludlow, this is a blessing indeed. I will get on it at once.
But don't tire yourself, Samina. You're still very weak. Doctor, could you get her a quill and some parchment?
Well, what kind of doctor would I be if I didn't have some available? Here you go, darling. Pardon my curiosity, Master Ludlow, but what is this Magicide Act you speak of?
It is a terrible law that Grand General and the Mayor have passed together. It commands the immediate assassination of anyone suspected of witchcraft or spellcasting.
The horror of it! Why would they possibly want to do such a monstrous thing?
Well, it seems that when fear rules one's mind, the mind itself is lost forever. The Magicide Act was triggered by pure panic.
Panic? For what?
How much do you know about the seven sacred stones, Doctor?
Well, not much. I've lived all my life out here, outside the city. You insiders will probably call us heathens, but we know little of the official religion.
Well, you are not alone, friend. I fear the church itself seems to understand precious little of it.
I know there are seven sacred stones kept in seven towers around the cathedral. I know they are of great spiritual importance, that is all.
Well, to understand their true meaning, one needs to delve back into a faraway past. A past not of this world.
What do you mean?
The tale takes us to the heavens. The goddess, living in the never-ending expanses of the heavens, once possessed a daughter, known to us as the Sacred Maiden. When the goddess had crafted the earth as a gift to her daughter, she assigned her prime angel to be the maiden's companion as she visited it for the first time. The angel's name was Lucus, a being both strong and beautiful, and also proud. As Lucus brought the maiden to the top of the highest mountain of the world to show it to her, the maiden was so deeply touched with joy at the majestic sight of the earth that she cried tears that glistened on her cheeks with a shining beauty.
In this instance, the passionate Lucas fell in love with a maiden. After he had fulfilled his task, he returned to the heavens to continue his duties for the goddess, and so much time passed without event. But one day, Lucas went to his divine mistress, and he said unto her,
"Great lady, long have I toiled in your service, and never have I asked you for more than the honor of fulfilling your kind commands."
"Indeed, Lucas, and I am grateful for it.
But when I saw your daughter's tears, I was changed wholly on the inside. For now, every hour of service has become an hour of missing, as I long to see her tears again."
"Dear Lucas, I do not deny that you have always served me well, and you have earned my kindness. Therefore, I will not deny you the honor of seeing my daughter, but I say to you now, no longer will you desire her tears, for there is a danger in that longing that is too great for you to comprehend."
And Lucas nodded, and he obeyed her, although he did not understand the goddess's command. Then he descended to the earth and spoke to the maiden, and saw what had happened. Grateful for her mother's gift, the maiden had populated the earth with many creatures, and chief among her creations was mankind. So great was her love for the men and women of this earth that she had given them a soul. And Lucas, in this hour, felt envy. And so he disobeyed the goddess and asked the maiden for her tears.
"Please, dear lady, grant me this gift, lest I be tormented forever. Verily, to be given but a taste of a great gift is a torment far greater than never to be given anything at all."
"Then forgive me, dear Lucas, for I cannot willingly give you what you ask, as only great beauty or great horror can draw tears from my eyes."
Deeply disappointed, Lucas returned to his labors. In private hours he toiled, long and hard, desperately trying to create a thing of such beauty that it could draw tears from the eyes of the maiden. And so, with all his skill, he made a great blade, shaped as a sickle, which shone with a great light. Lucas returned to the earth, to the top of the mountain, where the maiden stood to watch mankind flourish, and he showed the sickle. And while the maiden was delighted, no tears formed in her eyes. And he could see in her smile as she watched humanity that her delight at the little people was far greater than anything he could ever give her. And so he felt deeply hurt and bitter. So great was his envy and his anger then, that he drew forth his new forged sickle and went down into the valley, and he slew all of mankind, save two, one man and one woman, who had managed to hide in the caves beneath the mountain. In his act of pure hatred, Lucas had turned away from the light, and from that moment onward, he was no longer an angel. His skin became black, and his wings turned to leather, and his eyes that had first shone with light now glowed with evil passion. Long horns grew on his head as his face was deformed, and Lucas himself knew what he had become. The evil. The maiden had seen what Lucas had done, and her grief was unbearable. But then the new and perverted Lucas came before her, towering high like a dreadful shadow.
"You would not give me tears of joy. So now, will you give me tears of horror?"
"Never, vile fiend!"
Understanding Lucas's terrible mind, the maiden fought hard against her tears, refusing him what he had desired. Lucas's anger was now so great that he took forth his sickle and slew the maiden with it. No longer could she withhold her tears as she died, and as they streamed down her face and mingled with her blood, they were formed into 7 stones. As the maiden's last cries rose up to the heavens, they were heard by her mother, the goddess. Then the goddess saw what had happened, and she cursed Lucus and smote him into the abyss. And there, to this day, the evil's power has grown. Wandering the earth, the goddess found the sacred stones made from the blood and tears of her daughter. And now the Divine Mother saw that in them, something of the maiden's kindness and spirits had remained. These stones had the gift to withstand the might of Lucus and keep him away from the earth. And so the goddess gave the sacred stones to the last remaining couple of humans and told them to keep them safe. Each stone possessed the power of a virtue of the maiden, and those virtues would hold back the evil. But they could not last forever. One day, the stone's power would end. It is said that in the day that the stones at last run dry, Lucas's power will have grown as great as that of the goddess. And he will emerge out of the abyss and take the earth to make it his own.
Are you not sure where to go on campus? Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge.
Because you're mine, I walk the line.
GOSA, the Global Outreach Students Association, offers students the chance to learn about global health and international development while providing students with opportunities for practical experience working within disadvantaged communities both locally and internationally. They also collaborate with other clubs to organize global health-related symposiums and competitions. Executive positions are available. Contact them at ubc.gosa@gmail.com.
Tell me your name, and tell me who you were in your life.
My name was Ludlov, and I was a witch hunter.
Ludlov?
Why do you not sleep, Samina? It's late in the night.
I'm worried.
I have dispatched Fulcrin. Your friends have been warned. It is up to them now to find safety.
It's not just that, Ludlov.
Then what else troubles you?
Today, you spoke to Doctor and told him the story of the sacred stones.
Yes.
And then you told him that the church believes that magicians draw their power from those stones, sucking them dry.
Yes.
And that once the stones will be emptied, the evil one will come with his armies.
That's correct.
But what you did not tell him is what you believe.
I am not the church, Samina.
I've seen and heard enough of you to know that now. But what do you believe, Witch Hunter?
I do not believe in the power of the stones.
Why not?
Because my heart tells me so. We are the children of the Maiden, and it is in us that she continues, not in a lifeless stone.
But do you fear Lucas's return?
Yes, I do.
Don't you think that the goddess is more powerful than he is?
Samina, if the goddess was not powerful enough to save her own daughter from this wrath, do you think she will be able to preserve us?
A strong point. However, we children of nature, as you call us, hold a different belief.
I'd love to have a different belief. Will you share yours with me?
You're the only witch hunter I've ever heard of who would not call me a blasphemer now, so yes, I will share it with you. In one word, sacrifice. What does that mean to you?
A willful act. From the Maiden's part, you mean? But why? Why would she do such a thing to herself?
It might be worth pondering upon, Ludlov. I will say no more.
Very well. Do you think you could sleep now?
Not yet, I think. There is still too much on my mind.
Sigurd?
Don't you remember that I told you that I needed time to get to trust you?
Vividly.
We are one step further, you and I. Perhaps I can tell you about him now. About my brother.
You have my ear, Samina.
Sigurd had always been an adventurous boy. He had heard of the Black Sigil through many stories. And one day he told me he wanted to infiltrate them, get to know them, and maybe bring down the evil cult from inside.
So that's why he left home.
Yes. Yes, and I didn't see him for a long, long time. Until recently.
What happened?
I saw Sigurd in the city, but only very briefly, because if the Black Sickle knew he was gone, he would surely be killed by them. He did not dare to tell me anything, fearing the ears of the cult might be everywhere. He just told me that he missed Mother.
It was brave and foolish of him to infiltrate the cult. For those in its grip do not escape.
Ludlov, I have to believe I can get him out of there. Else I have nothing left. Don't you understand what I have lost? My home, my mother, and now him.
Yes. And all to the Black Sickle, Samina. For it was they who started the fire that destroyed your home and killed your mother.
I know.
And I know that you have not yet told me all, Samina.
No. No, indeed, there is more. When he left, Sigurd slipped a small note into my hand. It said, "Look for my news at the Wildwood Treehouse."
What did he mean by that? Do you know?
Yes. Yes, I do. When Sigurd and I were children, we used to play in the Wildwood. We had a treehouse there.
In the Wildwood? In the Wildwood? Samina, how is that possible? That place is full of vicious creatures.
The animals that live there are children of nature just as I am, Ludlov. I do not fear them. And now I know that Sigurd has left news for me there.
News that could lead us to him.
And to the Black Sickle.
Then indeed, this is a blessing, Samina. Thank you. We must go into the Wildwood as soon as you are ready for travel.
Stop your tale for a moment, Ludlov. You say that you went to the Wildwood soon after?
Yes, I did.
You do not know how narrowly you avoided capture there. Let me give you the first bit of the other side that I spoke of. Shortly after you fled with Samina, the news of your crimes reached the office of Grand General Hoskiv.
Grand General Hoskiv, you summoned us?
Yes, I did. You are the finest guards in Seven Peaks, and I have a special mission for you. I cannot spare any of my witch hunters right now in this hectic time. You are the next best thing. Already we've lost Vathek in the Inferno, and now with the Magicide Act and the murder of the mayor, the city has never been more chaotic.
Yes, madam.
Prepare yourselves for what you're about to hear. We've lost another witch hunter as well, but this one is not dead. He's merely on the run.
On the run? The witch hunter?
He's the one who killed the mayor. There's no doubt.
Do you mean there's a traitor in the order?
Worse. It's Ludlov of whom I speak.
Ludlov of all people?
I fear so. He freed a witch from the dungeons. A young girl. A pretty one. He shot the mare, now he's leaving with her.
Master Ludlov, he was like a son to you.
Do such things matter now, guard? He's a wanted criminal, and he will be brought to justice.
Yes, madam.
Begin your search and be relentless. Leave no path unexplored. Leave no questions unasked. And when you find him, and find him you will before you can expect having any sleep or rest, bring him to me alive. Alive. Is any methods necessary?
Yes, madam.
And so, while the guards left in pursuit of you and Samina, the Magicide Act was put in effect. It began with the marshalling of the witch hunters on the great marketplace before the cathedral. Lady Hoskiv gave them a short, simple briefing, and they left. The screams in the city did not end until the next morning. From door to door they went with their torches and their swords, separating husbands and wives, parents and children. Sometimes here and there they found a house to be empty. Perhaps those were the ones who had received Falkrin's message. But there weren't many. The hunters were relentless in their persecution. To many it was like a feast, destroying houses, slaying all who fought back, sacrificing every person suspected of witchcraft to the great flames without exemption. At dawn, a great black cloud hovered over Seven Peaks, and the smell of dead flesh was everywhere. In the early grey light of the morning, the Grand General stood by the pyres on the marketplace, engulfed in the scent of smoke. She had not slept that night.
What news?
The situation seems to be much worse than we had presumed, Lady Hoskiv. It seems that Master Ludlov killed two guards by the city gates.
Their families have been informed.
Tell me, did you know these men?
Well, yes, I did, milady.
How well did you know them?
We were on good terms.
So were Ludlov and I, guard. But I say to you now, all the hatred that I know you now feel towards him, set it loose, get him, and I promise you, I will not be merciful.
Yes, milady. We presume he may be hiding somewhere in the outskirts.
Very well. Continue your search.
And so, meanwhile, the girl led you to her secret hideout?
Yes. That morning, I took her on my horse and rode out of the outskirts. And so she directed me towards the Wildwood Forests, a place of ill repute.
Ah, yes, Wildwood. Both life and death are strong there.
It hardly looked like the kind of place for two youngsters to use as an escape from the wicked world. The trees were unnaturally tall and dark and twisted. The whole forest was so thick and wild, and everywhere I heard the sounds of creatures that I had not heard before. I noticed how fear slowly tightened its grip around my heart, while Samina seemed to be entirely at home. It felt strange and yet fascinating. Is it much further?
No, not at all.
Samina, you do realize that we are nearing the deeper parts of Wildwood, don't you?
What's the matter? Is the mighty witch hunter losing his nerve?
No. Just growing wary. Who knows where you might be taking me?
About 12 yards ahead of you.
I don't see it.
Look up, Rudolph.
The treehouse? It's so high. Whatever drove you and your brother mad enough to build a treehouse at the borders of the most dangerous part of the forest?
As I said, Sigurd and I never feared the forest. Its only inhabitants are the animals, and they are to be trusted.
Dismount. Are you going to enter the treehouse?
I'd like to, but I'm afraid.
Afraid of what? Finding something you don't like?
Afraid of finding nothing.
I understand.
I did not tell you the whole truth, Ludlov. There was something more my brother told me when I last saw him.
Yes, well, that's what I've been waiting to hear.
Sigurd told me that he was very afraid, that the evil of the Black Sickle ran deeper than he had dared to envision. He told me that he desperately wanted to get out, that infiltrating the cult had been the worst idea of his life.
But he knew that getting out was impossible, didn't he?
What do you know about that?
More than you guess. The Black Sickle is like an eagle's talon that takes hold of a prey. Sudden, harsh, inescapable, and deadly.
Sigurd spoke like that too. I wondered what had driven him to such panic. It wasn't like him at all.
But what did he tell you?
A terrible thing.
What?
He predicted the fire of Seven Peaks. He said that the real reasons behind the how and why of the fire were being kept secret among the top members of the cult. He knew very little, except the orders that had been given to him, and rumors that circled among the lower members, like himself.
Orders? What were his orders? Did he tell you that?
I don't remember.
Samina, don't lie to me.
He was ordered to send a letter.
What kind of letter?
Please.
This letter, Samina? Was it this one? The one about Edomir?
I'm sorry. He said he didn't understand why they made him do it. But he did.
I don't understand this. Why would the Black Sickle warn me about Edomir's death?
Warn you?
Yes. That's what the letter said. It was a warning.
It was? Bless you, Sigurd. I'm so happy to hear that.
Explain yourself.
Sigurd told me that he had been ordered to send you a letter that would lure you away from Seven Peaks, to keep you from saving Adomir's life. But now you tell me who wrote you a warning? Can I see the letter?
Here.
Of course. He used a very simple spell. He wrote one letter and enchanted it to change its contents upon arrival.
Well, glad to hear that he's doing his job as an infiltrator then.
Did you save Adomir?
No. I was too late. I failed him.
I'm so sorry.
So, time to look for news.
What's that you're holding?
The ring that summons Fulcrin. Fulcrin? Fulcrin, fetch that letter up there.
Impressive. The power behind that ring must be old and great.
I wouldn't know. I'm one of those people who are quite happy to use magical items without having a clue as to how they work. Ah, there he is. And he has a letter in his beak.
Well, that's enough magic for now, Falkrin. Samina?
It's a strange message.
What does it say?
Just two words. Ghost Streets.
Hmm.
This is not like him. It could be a trap.
I don't think so. I think he was being careful.
But it doesn't make sense. Ghost Streets. What does that mean?
I fear I know what it means. Although I dread its meaning. The Ghost Streets are one of Seven Peaks' best-kept secrets. The Witch Hunters know about them, but we are warned against them. We must stay away from there.
Why?
Because the evil spirits that reside there would turn our minds mad with delirious visions, or so I'm told. I've never actually seen the Ghost Streets, but I know what they are. As you know, in the northern half of the city, an immeasurably deep ravine separates the northeast quarter from the northwest. The people there believe that the precipice is actually bottomless, which is, of course, foolish folk talk.
And a dark place full of evil spirits is not.
Indeed.
And no one has actually been there?
Let's put it this way. I don't know of anyone who's gone there and returned.
But that's where Sigurd is leading us. That must mean that he has been there.
He must have had some powerful connections in the Black Sickle indeed, if he was able to travel there and live to tell about it.
Damn it, I don't understand this. Surely he must have known that I couldn't have found that place on my own?
That is strange.
Unless there is more to this message than meets the eye.
What do you mean?
As I thought, most of the message was magically sealed.
What does it say?
Well, mostly it seems to say what you just told me. He's warning me for the dangers, but telling me to visit a certain Gustav Finsterdunkel.
Really? I might have known.
You know him?
Oh, yes. And indeed he will be the man to turn to. Come, let us return to the city right away.
Back into the city? Everyone will be looking for us.
Not where we're going.
Which is?
First through the sewers, and then to the darkest, smelliest alleys of the whole of Seven Peaks.
Ah, something to look forward to then.
And so we rode back to the outskirts, where I left my horse in the care of Doctor.
Barely an hour ahead of the guards, Ludlov.
What do you mean?
I mean this.
Who is it?
The guards of Seven Peaks.
Oh, yes. Come in. Yes. What can I do for you?
Don't play games, old man. You will tell us the truth and quickly.
I don't know what you are talking about.
We are talking about the traitor Ludlov and his whereabouts. You have seen this, Witch Hunter. Now speak.
But I know nothing.
Oh? Refresh his memory, fellows. With pleasure.
But... No, stop! Surely
you must remember the rider who tied his horse to your hut?
You won't gain anything from me.
That's too bad for all of us. Except my dog, of course.
You speak nonsense.
Oh no, I'm being practical. If you won't use your tongue for helping along justice, then what uses it? I might as well feed it to my dog.
No, please, no.
Changing your mind,
please,
then?
No. All right. He's been here. He left his horse here to put you on the wrong trail. He told me to tell you nothing.
The bastard. He knows our methods well enough. If you don't answer, you get tortured. Ludlov knew we would do this. So in a sense, he is the one who is hurting you right now, old man.
Yes. I see that now. And so I'll tell you the truth.
Good. Very good.
He returned into the city.
Peter betrayed us?
He told the guards that you had gone to the cathedral to investigate something. He did not betray you.
I see.
But leaving your horse in his care was eventually bound to bring the guards to his door.
Ah, yes, that was a terrible mistake. I never meant the horse to draw the attention of the guards. I brought terror upon that poor man who helped us.
You did, but you did so unwittingly. And he did believe that to the end. Even when they brought him to the dungeons for further questioning, where I soon visited him.
How did he die?
He was old. The stress became too much for him.
He did so much for us. After all my years of experience, how could I be so careless? It seems everywhere I go, I leave death in my wake.
But now death sits before you. Tell me of your trip to the sewers.
Very well. There is a drainage exhaust in the outskirts where foul water is spilled into the ditches around the city walls. It was not far from Doctor's Hut. Not exactly a popular place, but still, I could only hope that no one would be looking for us if we returned into the city that way.
It seems to me like you are a man who would risk much, Ludlov.
Well, would I be here if I wasn't?
No, indeed.
The trip through the sewage system was short but smelly. Both Semina and I feared we would suffocate before reaching the back streets of Seven Peaks. But we made it, without worse inner than the stench. And so we reached a place in the dark sewers where a beam of ghostly sunlight illuminated a simple ladder leading to a metal grate above our heads. Luckily, there was no one to be seen in the dark alley where at last we climbed out. Smelling horrible, we swiftly made haste through the small, narrow back streets of the vicinity. The buildings here were mostly large, windowless warehouses and workplaces. No one saw us. Shortly after, we finally arrived at Gustav Finsterdunkel's wondrous emporium of occult devices and sundry artifacts of the bizarre, as his little shop was called. It was situated at the end of a very lonely, narrow alley between two abandoned warehouses.
Jazz is a word that means many different things to many different people. The best definition of jazz that I know of is the jazz show on CITR with yours truly, Gavin Walker. Monday nights, 9 to midnight, with the jazz feature at 11 o'clock. Check us out every Monday.
On a cold, frosty day, an ant was dragging out some of the corn which he had laid up in the summertime to dry it. A grasshopper, half perished with hunger, besought the ant to give him a morsel of it to preserve his life. "What were you doing," said the ant, "this last summer?" "Oh," said the grasshopper,